everything changed down. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. Jackie Butcher.
Going to be joining Sam and Trish on their broadcast, which will be immediately following this one, only it'll be on the Dixie Network. Now, I don't know if sometimes the Dixie Network doesn't always carry the show live, so probably the best thing to do would be to catch it in the archives at some point. Usually their archives are posted within a
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday, as it always is when we do this broadcast, and it is the 25th of April in the year 2007, and you'll have to forgive me. Hold on. Don't go away, folks. Hello? Hello? Okay. Okay, now I think I'm on the air. This is once again Wednesday, the 25th of April in the year 2007. And our spiritual message tonight is from circles. I do this a lot. Somebody's trying to call me, and I have call waiting on this phone, and we're just going to ignore that, folks. This is very short. This is from the text in the Course in Miracles, page 302. What is not love is always fear and nothing else. That's something to consider, isn't it? What is not love is always fear and nothing else. In other words, maybe if we're angry, if we look back, if we examine our emotions, our feelings, maybe if we're angry, if we look at that closely enough, we might find that the anger stems from some fear. Or if we're feeling sad, it is something to think about, isn't it? What is not love is always fear. Tonight, oh, you know who that might have been calling me? I had asked Dr. Begich, Nick Begich, to come on. I told you last week that he was going to be on with us. And that might be him. Folks, I'm going to have to go over there and see.
Why does she keep hanging up?
Okay.
Hello?
You're there?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, Nicholas, thank you. Dr. Begich, do I have you?
Oh, okay.
Dr. Begich? No.
Are you with me? I am.
All right. Thank you for being on tonight. Did you have an event today?
No, not today.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't hear from you, and I called to give you the reminder, so I had to go on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you last week that Dr. Beckage, Nick Beckage, was going to be with us, and now we're together here, and we've got a whole 50 minutes left of this hour. And I asked Dr. Beckage to come on because, you know, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
It has indeed.
You know, the first time you were ever on, we were ever on the air together, you probably don't remember this, it was 1995.
Oh, my.
And we were the CDR Information Hour, and we had two beautiful hours with you. But then, of course, it's, you know, a couple of times you've been on since then with me. But, folks, I asked Dr. Beckage to come on because I keep getting these reports on cell phones.
Right.
And I wanted to hear an expert tell us about if the dangers that we're hearing about are real, if they are, what can we do about it, and et cetera. And can you talk to this, Dr. Beckage?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this issue periodically comes up, and it seems like it cycles through about once every year or two. You hear a report of a new study or a new release of information, and actually, there have been a number of studies indicate there are health considerations with cell phones. There was one done in Europe that actually involved 15,000 people, so statistically it's a pretty important study. What they indicated in that study was that, in fact, a number of things were reported with people that use the phones for over an hour a day. The most common, heating behind the ear, and then things like interruption of sleep patterns, short-term memory disruption, interruption with sex drive, as well as tumor formation, which has been reported periodically, and that's probably the one that gets the most controversy. But
yeah,
when you start to look at the literature on this subject, there's actually quite a bit to indicate there is good reason to be concerned.
Okay. And what is your take on it?
Well, you know, as I look at it, I think there is. When you look at Dr. Carlo's work, for instance, and George Carlo was the guy that at one point Motorola hired to take a look at the issue. In fact, they spent, I believe it was $25 million over 5 years to analyze, you know, cell phones in terms of safety. What happened at the end of that period, and this would have been back, wow, that goes back a few years now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the timeline is on that.
Yeah, this is going back to around 2000, 2001,
wow.
2002.
Okay.
And what they determined back then was that, in fact, you know, there were problems. But Motorola rolled out the reports and said, you know, everything's safe, everything's wonderful. Well, Dr. Carlo went on and was pretty incensed by it. He actually published a book called Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards, and went further with it and actually showed and suggested that tumor formation may have been caused, at least one of the mechanisms he thought might be responsible, is the actual heating of putting a microwave transmitter, the cell phone, next to the head and transferring energy insufficient to cause a heat transfer. And this is what's been noted in the literature, and this heat transfer actually breaks down the blood-brain barrier, that part that keeps toxins from reaching the brain, and actually allows that to occur. Also, they believe, may slow down the normal repair cycle of DNA. In other words, causing it to malform and allowing the cancerous or the tumor formation to show up.
And that's in the brain? In the brain?
Yeah, and when you think about it, I mean, think about some of these guys that you hear about now, that are reporting brain tumors. You know, Cochran, who died of a brain tumor. You look at a number of the people that are using phones a lot, and you'll find that that tumor formation tends to be on the side that individual holds their phone, which is, again, probably the mechanism underlying that is the heat transfer.
And you say it's... Now, the towers that send the signal, they're microwaves?
Yeah, you're using a microwave signal. The cell towers themselves, there was a study done again in Europe looking at cell phone towers, the transmission towers themselves, and finding that in a couple of studies that there were problems there as well. You know, what's interesting is one of the biggest insurance companies, one of those that underwrites risk and also does a lot of research to let other insurance companies know what's worth writing risk for, and that's Swiss Reinsurance. They've actually produced a report where they recommend to the industry that they don't underwrite the risk, the health risks associated with cell phones specifically and electrosmog, what they call electrosmog generally, because they believe that these potential risks may in fact be so much that they wipe out the insurance industry. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they're talking about.
What is the insurance company you're talking about?
Swiss Reinsurance, if you look them up on the internet, you'll find them, Swiss Re, and then you can actually look at this report. It's called Electrosmog. And when you see it, it's basically kind of an analysis of this problem. You know, it's kind of a risk that they can't get their hands around, but the insurance industry, you know, kind of takes an early stance. They don't wait until all the science is in to say, hey, you're in the wrong business. When the early work starts to come in, they start to issue each other the warning signs so that they don't underwrite the risks and lose on their bet.
Are we saying that then the insurance companies would be asking the applicants whether or not they use a cell phone?
No, it would be more on the basis that if you were manufacturing cell phones and you wanted product liability insurance to cover biological risks, health risks from cell phones, you probably can't get any insurance to do that. On the other hand, for things like the phone malfunctioning, you know, or some negligent act that's obvious is one thing, but the actual biological effect of the phone itself is the risk that insurers are unwilling to.
Okay. Do you use a cell phone?
No, actually, you know, cell phone use, most people think they just have to have it all the time.
I know it.
And the reality is you don't. I mean, I'll tell you the one time that we would use a cell phone is in travel. We allow our children to have a number where they can call us, but it's one of these that you use, you pay $10 and it's good for 10 minutes.
Right, like a track phone.
You get a ring, yeah.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't. And I think that if we use cell phones, there are some things we can do that makes them relatively safe. One of them is the speaker phone, the kind you hold away from your head entirely. These phones, once you get a few inches away, the power density drops dramatically, and the effect is pretty minimal. The thing about it is, it doesn't matter so much whether you're even using a phone yourself anymore. It's the signal from the towers, the inundation of a wireless world that we find ourselves in. So whether you're using it or not, you are affected to some degree. Now, the use itself is where the most intense energy is exchanged. So you can do, you know, just by moving it away from the head, you do quite a bit to reduce the dosage level that you're taking in.
And they do have headsets for cell phones.
Oh, sure. You have headsets as well, and if you get a good one with good quality insulators in terms of what's insulating the wire before it goes in the jack into the inner ear, these can be fine as well. As long as you're not setting the phone, say, next to your stomach or your kidneys, where that you have even more soft tissue where the signal penetrates.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah, and that's something a lot of people don't consider. Is moving the phone to an area that actually the signal transits
is away from the body, period.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Okay, let me ask you, what about these portable phones?
Portable phones are essentially the same equation. In fact, they tend to be worse in the sense that portable home phones are generally sitting on a charger, so they're not very efficient in terms of power use. They don't need to be. They come on and off all day long, so you tend to see a lot more heat transfer out of phones to burn their power more less efficiently and more readily.
So you're saying that a portable phone can even be worse than a cell phone?
Yeah, because you're talking about the same idea. Essentially, it's a transmitting signal, and it's the idea that you're putting it close to the head, and this is where the energy transfer has been noted.
Now, what about if you've got the headset on and you lay the phone itself, like on a table or something, by you?
Yeah, this is normally the best way. I mean, we're not going to see cell phones go away. Now, one of the other things that
I'm talking about portables, and the reason I'm asking,
right,
because I have a portable, and it's a headset phone.
Right.
And you know what I do? I hang it on my shirt. And I walk around the house and do housework and stuff. And I'm on the phone quite a bit. I get quite a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, this isn't uncommon. In fact, it's pretty normal. And that's, again, where when you start to think about the amount of energy transferred into the body, when we think about how we're doing it, what we're doing, and we don't really do that too much these days. And yet cell phones, if you look at the safety issues, even in Europe these days, usually before school starts, the beginning of the school year, in August, you'll start hearing the warnings to parents to give careful consideration whether or not they have their children even use cell phones. And, you know, that's something that they do in Europe, is the what's called the precautionary principle, which is when there's enough evidence that is mounted, you let the public know so you can make decisions. And they've applied this now well over 30 years in health and environmental issues. And never once have they been wrong. Never once have they come back and said, oh, we were wrong, we made a mistake. In fact, those early warnings allowed the public to make decisions. You know, you think about the controversy with the Firestone tires a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
You think about the tobacco industry. Well, think about energy companies and transmission companies, communication companies, that are now engaged in an awful lot of work where biological effect of these fields has been noted. In fact, with cell phones, it goes back to before they were even invented. They actually analyzed the same bandwidth, the same frequencies that cell phones transmit under, in terms of their physiological effect back in the 60s at University of Washington, and determined that there were indeed significant health effects. And yet those early findings were ignored by the industry all those years later when the cell phones came out.
And we don't hear about it here in the States, do we?
No.
There are no warnings coming, not from the FDA, not from any of the agencies. I'm really glad I had you on tonight, because this is important for people to hear. It seems like almost everybody I know has a cell phone and uses it.
Yep.
Uses, basically, that's their phone.
Well, and, even more so now.
Well, I know it. And children, by the time they're 10 years old, they've got their cell phones. And it's supposed to be just an emergency thing to contact the parents.
Then that's not the way it works.
Well, I know it. And my grandchildren, all three of them have them. And their cell phones are their communication with their friends.
Well, and cell phones today, when you think about it, in fact, it was reported recently in the press, 25 million households no longer have landlines at all. They
mm-hmm.
just use cell phones exclusively. And this trend will continue. Cell phones have some other features built in that a lot of people aren't aware of. One is the GPS, geographic positioning system. Every time that you call, not only is your call recorded in terms of who you called and when you called and who called, but where you were when you made the call is also stored.
Yeah.
And that's something a lot of people are unaware of.
I'll bet you a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And they just, it's like, oh, who gives a damn? They're watching everything we do anyway.
Well, and, you know, storing the data, you know, and the other part of it is the new concept of roving wiretaps. And this concept was tested in the course. And it's not just about tapping randomly phone calls. It's about, like, for instance, maybe there's an individual in a public place, a restaurant, for instance, that you want to tap, and their cell phone is in their pocket, so you can actually activate all of those phones within that restaurant without turning them on where anyone's conscious of it, but they activate them, and they can use them as a microphone within that environment, so everybody's phone is active just to make sure you catch the people's conversation.
Becomes a microphone or a loudspeaker,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, and so here you are thinking that you're carrying your own personal private communication device, and it's actually your portable tracking device and communication device.
Would the same thing be true of a portable phone there?
Well, a portable phone, yeah, I suppose you could use any kind of a telephone signal. You can also use the cable system coming in and out of your
phone. Or even the landline.
Yeah, you know, landlines as well. This is, again, you know, the technology has advanced, the technology's changed, and now there's all of these possibilities, and the question is, how do you regulate it? Because that's really ultimately, I think, the concern that most should have, and we don't right now. We don't have any regulation of this new technologies in the way that it can be used, and yet we're seeing the proliferation of it. And then the health issues, you know, are a whole other set of circumstances that needs to be considered.
Are the megahertz, the power of the phone itself, like the one I have is like 900 megahertz?
Yeah.
And it's an older one, but today it seems like all of them are 2 and 3 and 4,000 megahertz.
Yeah, it's the frequency of the signal, and what you're, you know, what you're looking at is within that range, there is a transfer of heat. The thing is, the newer phones do tend to be a little more efficient. In fact, the industry is, since we first started talking about this and started seeing it in the literature, the industry is actually... filed over a dozen patents to make phones safer. Some of it involves the angle of the antenna tilting away from the body, which decreases the energy absorption dramatically. Some of them include better circuit design so that they use the power more efficiently. But, you know, I think the phones certainly aren't going away. I think you'll see them become more powerful and less energy. But one of the other aspects that is being considered and being talked about now is a way to charge the phone remotely, so you'll never have to charge it again. And this would be using a system called a magnetic induction. And this was announced as recently as December of last year as a new concept that might be put in with cell phone towers in order to keep cell phones charged up using sort of a wireless transfer of energy, which means you can never inactivate these devices. They will always work. In their GPS capability and microphone capability, even if you pull the battery out. So think about that.
Oh, my. You know, you talk about this so blasé.
Well, you know, when you look at it, you know, and you start to see what's happening, you realize that, you know, it's convenient on one hand, but pretty intrusive on the other.
You bet it's intrusive.
And these are what people are not considering. Because they don't really talk about, you know, in the industry, and yet it comes out bit by bit. I mean, the idea of GPS, that was because of the emergency system, right? So you can find people
if they're lost.
911. That was the story.
Yeah.
And then the microphone setup, that was revealed in a case in New York City involving the mafia where that was actually used and challenged in court because it was collecting evidence. Well, it was upheld. They can do it. And it's legal if they do the right thing. And the right thing today is pretty lax.
Oh, they have no parameters, do they?
No, they don't even need a warrant. They need what they call a security letter, which they issued 40,000 to 60,000 a year since 9/11. I mean, it's ridiculous now what they can do.
Mm-hmm. There's some gadget that's being sold, and I wanted to ask you about this. They're claiming that you... somehow put this on your cell phone, and it protects you from, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you've heard of this thing. Are you aware of what I don't know what they call it, but
I've seen a few different devices. Some I've seen some pretty good science on. Some I haven't seen anything on. Some of them, they were taken off the market a number of years ago because they weren't substantiated. There are some materials you can get, but I can tell you the best thing is to pick the right phone with the lowest powered densities and then get it away from the body when you're using it, using a speaker phone or a good quality ear jack, and keeping it away from the body is probably the single best thing an individual can do. But here again, you know, think about the wireless world and the increases in energy sources, all of which... for the most part, are transparent to the body, with the exception of a few. And it's those that we need to be concerned about.
Okay,
and
you know what?
Yeah.
We're at the half hour.
Okay.
And we're going to take about a 3-minute break here.
Sounds
and
good.
I'd like you to start over on what you were just saying here, because I'm not hearing our music, though. But I did hear the... the 1-minute warning. I think I can hear the music faintly in the background. We'll just wait here.
Okay.
And folks, we'll be right back with Dr. Nick Begich. And then you have to tell them how they can hear you on your own broadcast.
Sure, not at
all. And some of the wonderful information that you have available to people. Okay?
All right, sounds good.
I've got your book.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked questions of Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
No. Where to tell people where to get it?
Well, we carry other video of the HARP issue now that we produce on our website. So we have that as well as some material on cell phones and a video called Technologies of the 21st Century.
Okay.
So we can talk about
that. We're back on the air now.
Okay.
Folks, we're back with Dr. Begich. You have your own radio broadcast now, yes?
Yeah, I'm on weekdays, 5 days a week from 4 till 6 Central Time.
Ooh.
And that's at GCNlive.com.
Genesis Communications.
Right. And it's GCNlive.com. You can check it out. And it's on Network 4 every weekday.
GCN Live. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
GCNlive.com. Do they have you on shortwave also?
Not yet. We're supposed to go up on shortwave sometime in May, and so we'll see how that goes, and then we're going to try and do a little more syndication with the program as the months progress.
Uh-huh,
the daily
good.
Show, and we mainly cover technology related.
Oh, that's wonderful. 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern?
Central.
Oh, 4 to 6 Eastern. I mean, Central, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm writing here. I can't walk and chew gum, so...
And on the issue we're talking about today, we actually have some information on our website. There's a very good article on cell phones. It's free at earthpulse.com, EARTHPULSE, earthpulse.com. And the article on cell phones, you can just do a quick search and you'll find it. There's a lot of other material there as well, and I invite folks to take a look. Quite a bit of material
that's
available
wonderful.
For free on the site.
That's wonderful. And you have your book, Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Right, and we've published a few others since then, Earth Rising, The Revolution, Earth Rising 2. Earth Rising 2 has a good section on cell phones, also gets into sonar, some of the privacy-related technologies. And then our newest book, Controlling the Human Mind, which is also available through our website.
Whoa, Controlling the Human Mind.
Right.
That sounds fascinating.
Well, that, I think, is the most important thing we've put together over the years, and it's a topic that has gotten a lot of attention. This particular book has 300 source documents citing the development of the technology and sort of where it is today, and it's an issue that we think is going to be one that's going to be around for a while as the controversy over some of this starts to develop. Washington Post ran a big article in January this year on the issue. Sonoma State University just released a study on this issue, and I think we're going to see more discussion as the months progress.
Washington Post.
Right.
Now, why would they do that, I wonder?
Well, you know, it's a, you know, when you start to look at the issue and you look at the evidence surrounding it, it is one that deserves a little bit of coverage, and they actually gave it some pretty good play in the Sunday edition on January 14th this year. They gave it the cover story in the Washington Post magazine, which is a supplement to the Sunday edition, and a multi-page article that really breaks it down. They talked to people on the victim side of the issue, which I thought was interesting, and they talked a little bit about the science, and then some of the folks that have been on the other side developing this technology and their rationale for why it's moving forward, which all of which was surprising to see, actually, in the Washington
Post. Well, you bet it is. It makes me wonder sometimes when they... And so, as far as you are aware, and you would be aware, their article was truthful?
Oh, I think it was pretty straightforward. I think they could have gone a lot further, but
okay.
I mean, it was a good first step, as far as I could see. You know, because it's not dealt with very often in the mainstream. I've seen a few reports here and there. But it gives the issue a lot more credibility and currency when the Washington Post runs the story. And what
well,
I think
sure.
will happen is as the science develops and gets out there, it's kind of a signal. What it's telling me is the science is a lot flatter than we think, and there's going to be a lot more discussion of it because we're probably as worried about the other guy having it as our own government using this kind of technology inappropriately.
Did they mention the MK Ultra program?
You know, they did, just briefly. There's a better paper, though, and it's one that was published in June of 1975, and it was the report to the president on the commission of overseeing CIA activities within the United States that did an excellent report, very short but very well done on MK Ultra.
That's available somewhere?
You know, you can probably get it at a good academic library. We quote it in the book Controlling the Human Mind.
Uh-huh.
But June 1975, a report on the Commission on CIA Activities of the United States, report to the President.
Report to the President.
On CIA activities within the United States. Very important, because the same things that were happening in the early 70s that report talks about are exactly the same things happening today, not just in this area, but they talked about intercepting of mail, intercepting of phone communications, infiltrating private groups within the United States. I mean, the kinds of things that we are reading about, once again, in our papers in this country, about security agencies moving much further than what we would expect from them. And I think that's, you know, when you deal with the cell phone issue is like has many dimensions to it. I mean, you know, think about it as a revolutionary communication tool, which it is. You can think about it in terms of its health implications, but then you can also think about it in terms of what it's capable of doing in terms of tracking people's movements, being a source for you know, greater control. Is that something we want, or is that something we should limit in terms of this technology?
So you mentioned cables also?
Sure. You know, the thing about electromagnetic systems, you can carry signals on electromagnetic systems both directions, depending on how they're designed. And what we've got now with with the kinds of systems that have been designed, any of these can be used as a carrier for information beyond what is normally intended. There's a good article, and it's called The Mind Has No Firewalls. It was published by the U.S. Army War College.
Whoa.
In their publication called Perimeters, and you can get it online. Go to their site.
The Mind Has No
Firewalls.
Oh, my.
And it's probably one of the best articles on the subject. It really breaks it down fairly nicely in terms of understanding the issue. But there's a lot on this topic. I've got, I think, 9 or 10 different documents posted on my website at EarthPulse, and those deal with different aspects of it, from the Defense Intelligence Agency's releases, DARPA's releases, and then some summation articles with a number of sources that we cite there. And this is probably the biggest issue that I think we're dealing with these days.
You know, we don't have you linked. I know that we don't have your site linked on our website at sweetliberty.org, and I'm going to get a note over to our webmaster and ask him to get you linked. A lot of times what we do is in a particular section, like we've got a section on Big Brother.
Right.
Well, then we would put relevant links, and then also in our link section, and I'll make sure that we get that link up there.
Well, that would be great. You know, there's a lot of material that we're starting to see, and, you know, there's a lot of material that gets missed along the way. And, you know, unfortunately, the mainstream media doesn't do a good job of collating the data, you know, bringing it together so you can kind of see how it links up. They just sort of throw it at you, you know, sort
well,
of
shotgun. Well, it's in sound bites.
Yeah, exactly.
People never get the... Did you see the conspiracy theory with Mel Gibson?
I did indeed.
Well, you remember how he used to get those newspapers?
Right.
And he'd look at one little article in one newspaper.
Right.
And another in another, and start highlighting and cutting them out. He'd put a whole story together.
Right.
Well, I want you to know that my husband did that. He would get the New York Times, the Washington Post, Philadelphia Inquirer, USA Today.
Yep.
And he could skim those newspapers so fast, and he'd run down them, and he'd find the headlines. And then he'd grab it, he'd cut it out. And the next thing you know, he had a whole story piece together. And he had said that. He said, people say that they don't report the news. They do, but they only give you a little bit in each paper.
Yeah, that's really true.
It is.
And it is. And if you start to collate the data, you get a bigger view of it. And newspapers don't assign those kinds of resources. If you happen to do it, that's great. Some do. Information's out there. It is a matter of collecting it and interpreting it. A lot of material just never makes the mainstream. You know,
well,
it's
you know,
buried in academic or specialty reports.
You're very kind or something, because what I say is that the mainstream media is totally controlled in every aspect.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with a lot of that.
Right. I know you wouldn't.
Yeah, we've seen way, way too much manipulation of what comes out for absolutely the wrong reasons. And it happens way too much with virtually not just media, in the scientific community, business community, politics. It's about not so much giving people information as it is what are we going to tell the public and how are we going to make them.
How are we going to spin it?
Yep, exactly.
And most of the lies are lies of omission when you think about it, besides the spin they put on it. One of the things I think about, we're getting way off topic here, but the way they report the war, and they talk about a group of insurgents was taken out. Well, in fact, you know, those insurgents would be what we would call American patriots if some foreign army was over here doing what we're doing over in Iraq.
Yeah.
And the people who would be protecting their homes, their families, and their country, we would call them patriots, but people listening to the news and read it in the newspaper, see these insurgents as the bad guys.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, and I think too, Jackie, when we start to think about what's going on over there, you know, it's really what we as Americans once used to think about is individual sovereignty and the right to self-determination.
That's right.
And, you know, if these folks over there want a theocracy, I say let them have it, you know. Just don't cross the boundaries and mess with us anymore.
They didn't mess with us in the first place.
Exactly.
There was no reason ever, not the first time, Not the second time.
Yeah, and you know, again, I would say is, you know, there's no reason why we should be interfering in other people's governments. We do
That's
it all
right.
the time.
Well, the U.S. has become an empire.
Yeah, and it's the blowback. I mean, what we know is coming back our direction has historically come back our direction. Isn't because Americans are disliked. In fact, most Americans, when they travel, find just the opposite. But the policies of interference, the policies of violation of other people's sovereignty, we may not like someone's government, but if they don't cross our boundary, we should leave them alone. You know, and that's, I think that's the take that Jefferson originally had, and a lot of the other guys when this thing was put together here, was if we were going to be an example, that's one thing, where people want to emulate what we have. But imposing government on anyone under any conditions would be repugnant, I think, to our founding fathers.
Yeah. There was something I wanted to mention to you. Oh, cables. We started to talk about cables.
Yeah.
Okay. There was. There's an. Actually, it's done in. I don't know how many parts. 3 or 4. It was a speech that was given by a Dr. Day. To a group of pediatric physicians in Pittsburgh back in 68. And there was a Dr. Larry Dunnigan that was one of the attending physicians. He said they met on a quarterly basis. And that night, that particular night, it was at the Three Rivers Restaurant, beautiful restaurant in Pittsburgh. And they had a real nice meal. And then Dr. Day came in, and he announced to them that they could not take notes and they could not tape record a speech. And he proceeded to tell them, you're not going to remember most of what I say here tonight. But he said, I wouldn't have been able to say this a few years ago, but everything is in place, and there's nothing that's going to stop us now. He said, we intend to go into the 21st century with a running start. Dr. Dunnigan didn't seem to fall into the trance. And he said one of his amazing things was that as they were leaving, none of his colleagues seemed to be shocked at what they heard. But Dr. Day made one particular statement. There's so many things that happen that you can go back. He'll tell you about it. He told everything. He told how they were going to take out the maternal instinct from little girls. I mean, all kinds of things. And after you read it, I read it. Well, first of all, I read only one part of it. It was a transcript of the tape Dr. Dunnigan did. I wound up getting the whole thing, and there were, I don't know, 3 tapes. I transcribed them all. And if you would be interested in seeing that, maybe even linking to it, it's at sweetliberty.org in the shadow government section.
I'll
and it's called The New Order of Barbarians. And he said there will come a day when not anything that you say will not be heard. And he said you will know by the amounts of cables that are being run into people's homes, the progress that they're making.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, this is not, the concepts go back a long time ago, and it's just a matter of having the infrastructure in place to accomplish it. And in most modern societies that already exist, in the third world, the developing world, much of this is not in place.
Yeah, right. And,
you know, there's lots of different ways to influence populations. And I think this is, again, you know, are we too late? I don't think so. But certainly we're at 2 seconds to midnight.
Yeah.
I mean, we're close. And I, you know, I say that seriously because when we look at the compilation of literature, we look what's making it into the open literature, and then we know what the stumbling blocks are for fully integrated kinds of systems really have more to do with computing power and delivery systems, and we're just about there. In the next year or two, the systems will be big enough to globally do much of what has been predicted and be able to crack through the information code, which is a big part of all of this. You know, quantum computers are coming. This is something they just announced this
year. What's a quantum computer?
This, in terms of speed, let me give you a good illustration. If you take the supercomputers of today, the ones that we have right now, they can compute at the rate of 280.6 teraflops a second. Now, that would be equal to all of the people on the planet, 6.6 billion people, with a hand calculator, running a calculation every 5 seconds for 60 hours to do what that computer does in 1 second.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's the current computer. The quantum computers, if you take that current computer with all those billions of people for all those hours, do it instead of, you know, and that's 1 second. Imagine a trillion years instead of 1 second. And a quantum computer will do what the supercomputer of today does in a trillion years in 1 hour. What that means is that all the computer codes and security codes in the world can be hacked almost immediately, within just a few moments.
I mean, firewalls and...
You could hack through them like butter. And at the other end of that, you could download the data in all of the data banks of this planet so rapidly that literally within hours you could download all of the material, sort it, and have a full profile on every living soul that ever logged a piece of data somewhere.
You know, yeah, you know, when I first began to wake up and find out about this stuff, that was back in 91, hearing about, you know, the New World Order and how they intended to be able to track every I thought, 6 billion people, right.
It's and the technology.
And
that's where we're at now. Now, think about a quantum computer will not only sort the data, but can analyze it and draw conclusions that will almost seem supernatural because of the amount of computing power that's available there. It's as good as the program and the data development, and that's a very dangerous thing. And at the same time, who gets there first? You know, I mean, if it's not the U.S., who is it? And, you know, and who would use it? This is all science that has developed in the last couple of decades. In the last year, they've announced the first experimental quantum computers. This is very important because this is the biggest breakthrough in science in decades. When they perfect this, they say commercial viability maybe as early as 2010. That's very important. Magnetic induction, what we talked about for charging up cell phones,
so that they're always active.
Yeah.
Even without the battery.
Right. And what's important, though, is magnetic fields are very efficient for coupling with the human body. In other words, for doing much more than just charging up a cell phone.
Well, you talked about that in Angels Don't Play This Harp.
We talked a little bit about it there, but the technology to do it on such a broad scale wasn't available
right
until now. And now not just on a system as large as Harp, but also within this new power transmission system they're contemplating for charging up cell phones, you have the same capability, but you're able to localize it by affecting just specific cells within a cell phone system, for instance, where you're hitting just one region or one area.
Uh-huh.
So you have a lot more precision than you do with something that, say, modulates the magnetic field lines of the Earth, something on the scale of Harp. And this is, again, where all of this science has taken us in the last few decades, is an understanding of the human body in very profound ways, but the understanding could be used for enhancing our health, not just degrading it.
Yes, it could.
And that's the problem with so much of this, is it's being not just misdirected, but we're missing some of the most important parts of the research that could be used by the health professionals.
Right. You know, I've thought about this. Because there was a time when, you know, I had a friend, a mentor, who woke me up in a hurry and transferred a lot of information into my memory banks. But we were talking about if we could even stop this, where would you ever start to fix it? And it occurred to me, you know, finally that you can't undo, you can't unknow what you know, and the technology that exists. And the only thing that could happen by some maybe, I don't know, miracle, where it would all be somehow transformed to where they were using it for the good that it could do. And
well,
that's what's,
you know,
in my mind, the possibility, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think that's an impossibility. In fact, I think every time that we're faced with the worst circumstances, there's always a counter set of possibilities. I think that's available.
And I think it would be very good for all of us to keep that in mind and keep in our mind the possibilities of the good it could be and how it could be good, rather than focusing. You know, I don't know if you've seen the book or seen the DVD on, quote, The Secret. it talks of the universal law of attraction.
Right.
And if our thoughts are constantly on what we don't want, we'll attract what we don't want to us. In other words, it's almost like in reinforcing it. So therefore, if we keep our mind focused on what we want, they talked about like these anti-war, you know, war against drugs, war on this, war on that. They said, well, Mother Teresa knew the secret. She said, I'll never go to an anti-war rally, but if you have a peace rally, I'll come.
Yeah.
And I really strongly believe that what I'm saying is so.
You know, that's actually borne out by the physics. You know, the observer affects the outcome is what it says. Quantum physics says that. It's been one of the stumbling blocks, actually, for quantum computing. They had to figure out a way to shield the mechanism so that the observer wouldn't influence the outcomes. That's how fundamentally powerful human beings are. We just don't recognize it. The belief systems get in the way. A lot of things get in the way. And part of that is the conditioning. I mean, you want to talk about manipulating behavior. If you think about the conditioning we're subjected to
Absolutely.
Every day. And first it's fear, because when you generate fear in a population, the brain activity goes into an incoherent pattern where you can't make good judgments. You can't use the higher ordered functions that we're capable of, just the opposite. It's a way to keep the population suppressed. And when you look at the brain, when it's experiencing higher emotions, higher qualities, the parts that activate are those parts that allow for higher ordered thinking and beyond. And this is a very important thing, because it's fundamental. When you're living in a society of constant stress, your access to your higher capacities as a human being are limited. And
unless we're aware of those capacities.
That's exactly
it. We have to be aware of it. But see, that's basically what they pointed out, that this has been a secret, if you would, that has been known by the elite for a long, long time, and it has been kept from the general public.
Well, you know, when I saw that film, I thought to myself, you know, it's nice to see it all in one place, but every religion, every politic, every person that ever learned anything about the true nature of the human spirit, it seems like within a generation, the next group tried to suppress it, to hide it from the rest of us, because it was such a good trick. And it wasn't a trick at all. It was the birthright of every human being to co-create in this reality.
Yeah.
And the belief systems that get in the way, that the science is actually demonstrating empirically, that we in fact do, on a very fundamental level, influence every aspect of our reality.
Yes.
Now, if we can get our brains around that and really understand that, then new capacities will in fact open up to, I believe, larger segments of the population. Many of the scientists that I'm in touch with these days believe, in fact, that is the next big leap for humankind, is to open up these higher capacities. And that is, in fact...
if enough people find out about it, Dr. Begich, we just got our one-minute warning here.
All right. Well, bottom line is we're more than we think we are.
Oh, thank you.
Those
maybe you'll come on with us again sometime, and maybe
we'll do it again. And we'll do it again sometime this summer. Absolutely.
I would like that very much, and thank you so much for being on with us tonight, folks. EarthPulse.com, and you can hear Dr. Begich 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time on GCNLive.com, and EarthPulse.com is their wonderful website, which will be linked from Sweet Liberty. And the book, the new book, the Mind Has No Firewalls, I'm going to get that book, Dr. Begich.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next Wednesday night.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul taste and